The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Writer, communicator, ambassador for Time to Change Mental Health, and now street fighter Alistair Campbell is on the line. Alistair, good morning.
Oh, I think that's a bit of an exaggeration, Pat.
Okay, tell us what happened.
Well, it's an interesting one because I, like a lot of people, really, really can't stand litter. And I've noticed the litter seems to be worse during lockdown, whether it's because more people are staying at home or I don't know what's going on, but there does seem to be more of it. So I was out on my bike the other day. I stopped at a corner shop to get a cold drink because it was quite a warm day. And as I was pulling onto the pavement, this guy in a car on the corner of the street opens his car door and just starts throwing fag packets, bills, crisp packets, bits of paper into the gutter, right? So I said with, you know, I won't use the full version of what I say, but I said, you know, who's going to clear that up? And he said, what's it got to do with you? And I said, well, I live around here and I don't want to live in a pigsty. And he said, well, I live around here as well and I'll do what I want. And so we sort of went backwards and forwards. He got out of the car. We had a little bit of a to and a fro. And then I realized it was going nowhere. So I said, well, listen, you know, people like you disgust me, da, 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 da. I went into the shop. I bought what I was buying. I came out and I had a bit of a rush of blood to the head. And I opened his door and I threw all his litter back into the car.
Before we proceed, Alistair, can you give us a sense of, you know, what he looked like? Was he an intimidating presence? Was he a big guy? Was he a fit guy? Was he a dangerous looking guy, or was he just an idiot?
The thing that really got me is he kept saying to me, listen, you're an old man and I could do you a lot of damage. He was young. He was about my height and I'm 6'3". He wasn't massive. He wasn't like one of those guys you see in the gym all kind of bulked up, but he was lean. He was fit. And he did keep saying, listen, if I laid one blow on you, I could knock you out right now. That was his kind of basic attitude. And then after I'd thrown the litter in the car, he then came out and had a real go and sort of pushed me against. He either pushed me or he punched me on the back for some reason. He also kicked my bike, which really pissed me off. Anyway, at that point, the guy in the shop came running out and sort of split us up and got the guy back into the car. But, you know, when I got home and told Fiona and the family, they were like, And I bumped into Michael Palin, funny enough, who was out having a walk. He lives near us. And he said, I told him, and he said, I think you did the right thing and then you did the wrong thing. But, you know, what do you do? I mean, it's like, what do you do?
What a lot of people would like to do, and then they hesitate because the guy is intimidating. And we know there's an epidemic of knife crime. A knife can easily be concealed. Now, this guy might not have been that type of person at all, but still, the thought must cross your mind.
I did have that thought when I first confronted him. It was just instinct. I mean, I didn't even really think it through. When he got out of the car, I did have a thought, what if he's got a knife? So I just kind of, I was very much on guard for that. I actually held my bike. I swung my bike around to hold it in front of me. he was like, you know, he was tattooed and all that stuff. And I know you shouldn't make judgments like that. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, maybe you do. I think he was mixed race. And he was like, you know, so I was therefore very conscious of, because I've, you know, sometimes you get into those sorts of arguments and before you know it, they're accusing you of, you know, racism and all that stuff. And I did manage just about to keep my cool. However, I realized that I went over the top in opening his car, because then I said to him, listen, Sunshine, you just assaulted me. And he said, yeah, well, you provoked me because you broke into my car. As I was breaking into your car is a bit different when you're sitting there at the driver's wheel, you know, on your phone. Thankfully the guy in the shop came out and he just sort of, you know, he calmed it all down. But I don't know what you do. It's like, you know, litter. And it's like, I remember when I was a journalist sort of 40 odd years ago down in Cornwall, and there was a massive story. There was a young woman called Kay Pope, I think her name was, and she was known as the Have a Go hero because she saw this guy sort of attacking somebody else, and she sort of went in and, you know, sorted it out. And I think you do get confronted by these situations where you just think, well, if I do nothing, nothing's ever going to change. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he just thinks some sort of, you know, middle-aged.
Was there any possibility that he recognized you and he was a Boris supporter? Boris Johnston, I should give him his full name, Boris Johnson supporter. I mean, or was he someone who never watches the telly and hadn't a clue who you are?
No, I think he might. I don't know. I think the shopkeeper definitely told him as he was getting into the car. I think I was sort of moving away by then, but I think he was saying, listen, Sunshine, you really don't want to get into this. It could just go to a very bad place if you're not careful in terms of publicity and all that stuff. I don't know is the honest answer to that.
Do your family have to stop you getting into rows very often?
Well, if you watch my daughter's comedy stuff, she does do a whole sketch about how she calls herself my bodyguard. Not that much, but yeah, a little bit. I have got into, because people, you know, we're in that world. You see it on social media. All it is really is that, you know, people think they can just have a go if they see you around the place. And no, it doesn't happen that often, but I'd be lying if I said it hadn't happened.
Now, question, would you do it again? Exactly what you did with this fella.
Yeah, I think I would, definitely.
I want to ask you something else. It just came up during the week. We talked to John Preston about his book about Robert Maxwell, Fall. And there are a couple of stories about you and Robert Maxwell and how you kind of observed him going off the rails.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say I've read the book and I think it's extraordinary. It really is an extraordinary book. It's brilliantly written. It's actually really funny in places as well. He was a very, very, very strange guy in lots of different ways. But towards the end, he was paranoid. And the story he records with me is at a Labour Party conference when all the editors were there, and Neil Kinnock was about to arrive, who was then the leader of the Labour Party. I was probably the most junior person in the room, and Maxwell asked me to go out under the balcony to have a chat, and he was just, it was just this paranoid stuff. You know, they're out to get me. I don't know who they were, unspecified. The reason they're doing it is if they destroy me, they'll destroy Kinnock, and if they destroy Kinnock, they'll destroy the Labour Party. And so it went on. And he says, you must get a message to Neil. I'm thinking, well, that's a bit weird because Neil's about to arrive anyway. And I remember, because Maxwell was a huge, huge man by this stage. He was actually, some of the pictures in the book are really interesting. When he was young, he was kind of quite lean and fit, but he was enormous by this time. And his eating habits were utterly disgusting. But I can remember we were on the balcony of this hotel in Brighton. And I can remember thinking, he's going to fall off. He was leaning on this kind of, you know, balustrade thing, but it was made of metal. It wasn't like a sort of stone thing. But yeah, I think what was interesting about the book is that it does give a kind of fairly rounded picture of him.
It's such an adventure story, really, from, you know, very humble beginnings in Ruthenia all the way to being a baron on Fleet Street and then his ultimate demise and being exposed as a con artist in so many ways. You couldn't make it up.
No, it is. I suspect at some stage it will be. It is the stuff of movies. I mean, he always used to go on about his humble background, but I hadn't realised just how poor he was. And also his military career was, you know, quite impressive. What you never knew with him was whether he was. I thought the preface to the book where he was talking about him taking over a newspaper in America, it really, really, really reminded me of Trump. You know, the way he talked about himself, some of the mannerisms, certainly some of his habits. The other thing about, you know, as you know, I'm really interested in languages. There was a fantastic piece in the New European last week about Maxwell and his languages. You know, he spoke so many languages. He obviously had the extraordinary capacity. When you were with him, I think his native tongue was Yiddish. And when you were with him, you know, he spoke this kind of extraordinary, kind of colourful, very posh, very kind of quite high English, which he'd obviously learnt to try and get himself established as a sort of, you know, creature of the establishment. And I thought the other thing that was really interesting was his obvious obsession with Murdoch. Murdoch was inside his head in a way that I don't think Maxwell was ever inside Murdoch's.
Yeah. A final question on something that just popped up from a number of our texters here on News Talk, Alistair. They want me to ask you if you knew that Roy Greenslade was an IRA supporter, or were you surprised to learn that in recently, where he's fessed up that he was a supporter of the IRA and even wrote under a pseudonym for Unfublich, the IRA paper.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know the last bit. I mean, no, I always knew that he was basically a supporter of United Ireland. As to, you know, whether I would have ever said he was kind of a supporter of terrorism, no, I didn't. And I'm not sure. I've not read the whole piece. I mean, I'm always a bit wary when these kind of, you know, flurries and excitements. He's written this long piece in the British Journalism Review, which I think I will read before I join in the kind of, you know, the ritual condemnation. But certainly I always knew that Roy was very much a, you know, supporter of United Ireland. And but, you know, I think that when you look at some of the people we've got editing our national newspapers now, I think they do a hell of a lot of damage to my country as well.
Just a quote from Roy Greenslade from that article in the British Journalism Review. "I wanted peace and played a very minor role as messenger at a crucial moment during the process itself, but I understand why the conflict occurred and do not regret my support for those who fought it. I am pleased at last to come out from hiding and explain myself to everyone." That's what he said. So I'm going to try and dig out that entire piece to inform myself as well, Alistair. Look, be careful as you go.
Yeah, I will. What would you do then, Pat?
Well, I know what I'd want to do, but I think I'd have to size up the individual before I'd think twice before I do it. But I'd like to think I'd do the right thing.
Sometimes the little ones are the toughest, aren't they?
Yeah, like the terriers. When I'm walking the dog, the terriers are the one that snap at your ankles and have a go.
Yeah.
So there we are. Alistair Campbell, thank you very much for joining us on the line.